Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from thedraftnetwork.com, along with Trevor Sikkema, also from thedraftnetwork.com, closing your week out in the way that you wanted it to be closed out, ladies and gentlemen. Listening to Trevor and I talk about the least important position in the NFL.
Oh, come on.
Was that a rude way to say to talk
Dave
about
Dave Gettleman's offended.
He is, dude. He's probably so triggered right now. You know what somebody said? Somebody tweeted this. I don't know if you saw it, but when they traded for Jabril Peppers, somebody was like, Gettleman must have heard Peppers used to play some running back in Michigan.
Oh my gosh. I didn't even think of that.
It's perfect, man. I was like, that's funny right there.
I didn't even think of that.
How much you want to bet he gives him a carry or two?
What if he got up there at the press conference and he's like, yeah, we're happy to bring, you know, a 1-2 punch at running back here with Jabril Peppers. We loved what he did in Michigan.
Do you plan to use him like in a variety of roles though, Dave? Yeah, we might put him a quarterback and have him run some wildcat.
Yeah, you guys know? Remember Ronnie Bass from Remember the Titans? Remember at the end when he told him he'd play both ways? And then they won. Guess what happened? They won the state championship. All right, we're trying to get our own Ronnie Bass.
Dave Gettleman's one of a kind, right? I mean, at this point, it feels like almost. I mean, there are others that probably share some similar, but to his degree, I don't know if there's one in the league right now. Is there?
GM? No, all right, so we're talking about running back saves, guys, and we're going to kind of tackle the subject kind of as a whole, you know, running back value. We're going to talk about some of the prospects in this class, identify a couple of guys and where we think they're going to go. John's got some hot takes of where he thinks that the running back class as a whole is kind of going to shape up and where they're going to get selected overall. But before we get to that, somebody did ask me a question this week, and it was an interesting question, and this was just kind of, you know, bar talk, and they said, just for fun, if the Giants were to trade Saquon, what do you think they would want in return? Let's be honest. Approach it with an every man has his price kind of a thing. Because in reality, the Giants, I mean, they would never trade Saquon.
No, he's a running back.
That's what I'm saying. Like, let's approach it from if they were going to trade him, what do you think it would take? What do you think it would take to get Saquon? I told him 2 first-round picks.
I don't think it would take that much.
I think it would honestly take 2 first-round picks for the Giants to move on from Saquon.
If it was this year, you're saying. So 4 years left on that. I mean, with the fifth-year option, 4 years left
on
that
contract. Yeah, I'm saying like right now, what would it take for a team to trade for Saquon Barkley right now?
For the Giants specifically to give him up?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Because Gettleman's crazy? Yeah, they probably wouldn't give him up for anything. But, you know,
well,
so I guess.
I know that, but.
Sure. Okay. So they're thinking that they're technically open to it, but not like an Antonio Brown situation where you have to surrender him for anything you get.
the way that I answered it is that I think it would take 2 first-round picks to get Saquon from the Giants. And then
anybody who gave that up would be out of their ever-loving mind.
And then I look around the rest of the league, what other running backs would go for just 1 first-round pick? Do you think Gurley would?
No. Well, you have to. Are we considering everything here? Like just based on pure talent? Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
No, I'm talking about like you're trading for this player.
Okay. Well, he has.
And I know that
he might
have
arthritis
lesser,
in his
you have
knee.
A lesser,
so I wouldn't trade anyone.
Right. You have a lesser view of the running back, but I'm telling you to put your like look at like what the Rams might trade him for. Not necessarily John Ledyard.
Right. Well, with arthritis in his knee right now, if that,
the Rams.
I don't think they could get any, like currently, given the fact that he didn't play in the playoffs and now might
so
have
you don't
arthritis,
think they could get a first?
Just
so you
based
don't
off
think
injury.
They could get a first for?
No.
Okay.
Just based off injury, no.
What about
based
Zeke?
Off talent, yeah.
Sure. Okay. What about Zeke?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I agree with you. What about Alvin Kamara?
Yeah.
Okay. And then what about David Johnson?
Probably not right now, no. They're all
no,
about,
I don't think so either.
They're all about what's going on lately and stuff like that. And once he gets back
every
in the
other running
here.
Back, every other running back doesn't get close to that, really, I don't think.
Right.
No way.
That's what they'd ask for. Now, I don't know. There are some teams that just would never trade. Like, a lot of teams in the NFL would never trade a first rounder. You could get a first rounder.
But
you could get somebody to give up a first rounder for Zeke if he had a new contract or something. But you couldn't get most teams to do it, if that makes sense.
The only three running backs that I could see teams falling for a first round pick or more would be Ezekiel Elliott, Alvin Kamara, and Saquon Barkley.
That could change year to year.
Even then, I guess, but like
I could easily see David Johnson entering that conversation next year. I mean, if Le'Veon Bell doesn't take a year off and, you know, and missed all training camp the year before and he's just playing like a regular guy, he's certainly talented enough to be in that conversation. So there's some others.
So I wanted to bring that up. I wanted to bring that up mainly because it's a fun conversation, I think, to have. And it's also going to extremely trigger so many people listening to this podcast that if you just so much disagree with us in one way or the other about value of running backs and what we just said, tweet at us at Tampa Bay Trey, at Layered NFL Draft.
Just tweet at Trevor. I'm not trying to.
I'm not trying to catch those social media hands.
Dude, enough with the Steelers right now, man. All right, let's talk running backs here. Okay, first round, you're looking at the board. You're looking at the way that the layout happens here in round one, Trevor. And, I mean, you tell me, man, but what team do you think honestly takes a running back in round one outside of the Oakland Raiders with one of those picks in the 20s? Because to me, I'm ready to lock it in, brother. Josh Jacobs is going to be an Oakland Raider, and he's going to be an Oakland Raider at 24 or 27.
Wow. Okay.
I'm ready to lock it in. Who's taking him before that? I mean, I just can't, like, what other team is going to do it?
No, nobody's taking him. I mean, we'll run down this real quick. Arizona. No. San Francisco. No.
Nobody in the top.
The Jets.
Team.
No.
Nobody in the top. Oakland is taking a running back.
Oakland at 4. Yeah. No. Tampa Bay. No. Giants. No. Jacksonville. No. Detroit. No. Buffalo. No. Denver. No. Cincinnati. No.
Right.
Green Bay, Miami, Atlanta, Washington, Carolina. No, 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 no. I mean, like, the only one that has
Gettleman
a chance,
at 17?
Who?
Gettleman at 17?
I'll fly to Philadelphia. I'll book a ticket right now and just kill you.
I'm not even in Philadelphia. Minnesota.
Oh, did I say Philly? I meant to say Pennsylvania. That's probably how triggered I was. I just started seeing red.
Tennessee, no chance. Pittsburgh, no chance.
I've always said that if you draft a running back number two overall, the following season, you got to go out and draft another one in the first round.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds about like a winning draft strategy right there.
So anyways, so you think Josh Jacobs really goes first round?
Okay. Yeah, but I'll say this. I think Oakland at 24, or if they don't take him at 24 and they value somebody else there, he might not make it to 27 because of Philly. But that's it, man. Nobody else in the first round is taking a running back. Nobody. People say, oh, the Chiefs. No. They just watched their offense be completely fine with Damien Williams. They extended him. They like Darrell Williams from LSU that's there, and they just signed Carlos Hyde.
They signed Carlos Hyde.
I mean, it's a short deal, but I'm not saying they won't draft a running back at all. They will in the draft, but they won't be round one. Like, Josh Jacobs better be gone by the time.
Can we talk about this real quick?
Yeah.
Why did Baltimore sign Mark Ingram?
Because they're running the ball, bro. They don't have a quarterback.
No. Listen. Mark Ingram is a great signing for Baltimore.
Yeah.
But they literally ran the ball really well with nobodies.
Right. Ken Dixon and Gus Edwards are averaging 5.5 yards a pop. I think for them, it's a matter of wondering if that is sustainable. Like, okay, their scheme caught people by surprise, so they had backs that produced, but is it going, like, consistently, will Gus Edwards or Ken Dixon be able to sustain that type of production, that 5.5 yards a carry type of production? Because I was tweeting this the other day, too, and I thought about it some more, and I was like, you know what, I could see from their perspective saying, okay, you know, our scheme did some really nice things for us, but we need a guy who's going to create a little bit more than what these guys can do on their own when teams start to wise up to the scheme. And so I could understand that part of it. You could argue does Ingram give you a big other dimension? He's a good player for sure. He's definitely better than those two, but I mean, I think he'll help them. He'll be productive there, but it is going to come down to, to scheme and to the offensive line, in my opinion, more than anything else. So if you're asking me, I get why you signed Mark Ingram. I would say I would rather spend money to improve the offensive line than to get a better running back. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay.
That's fair to say, right?
All right.
So it wasn't like a bad move per se?
No. Like I said, I think Mark Ingram's going to be great in Baltimore. I just don't know why they spent the money on him.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was.
I think he'll be fine for him. Whatever.
Was it 3 years, 15?
You and I are.
We hate running backs.
I guess, like. Yeah, but like. What I've noticed over the last week is that you and I are just really cutthroat with money. Like at this point, and we talked about this earlier in the week in the podcast, like you can look at a player and go, wow, the other team in the league paid him way too much money to take him away from us, but we still need to replace him. Mm. But like you and I are sitting over here just like, yeah, we're never going to overpay for a guy. And we're just going to hope that the system always works out in our favor because we'll create a healthy system for us. But
right. Yep.
A lot of luck goes into that too, so I guess this is why I'm just like add guys that they might be overpaying for here and there. But anyways, we're digressing from the running back thing. So Josh Jacobs, you think he's got a chance to go in the first round?
Yes. Now, who is the second? No other running back.
Yeah,
nobody else goes first round. No chance.
No, I agree. I agree with you there. But like, okay, so does another running back go top 50? That's like midway through second round, right?
Yeah, I don't think so, man.
I don't think so either.
Arizona again, Indy, no way. Raiders at 35, like I said, if they've already drafted one. San Francisco's out here trying to sign Le'Veon Bell to a scheme that doesn't make sense. I mean, like...
Well, I mean, John Lynch is a madman.
Dude, he is insane. And John Lynch is just
opening the checkbook. That's it.
What are they... So they got Tevin Coleman for cheap, which was so much better than signing Le'Veon Bell to major money after... You already signed Jerick McKinnon to a huge deal that made absolutely no sense last offseason. So,
right.
Yeah, it's bad. I don't understand what they're doing.
Who
Matt Breida ran for almost 1,000 yards. Matt Breida, like,
dude, Matt Breida is good.
I know, but that's my point. Like,
send Matt Breida to Tampa.
Literally
please.
Everybody in Shanahan's system.
Please, Tampa. Tampa will trade him straight up for Rojo.
I mean, who says? I mean,
Tampa wouldn't do that, but I would do that.
That would be honestly Rojo would be a good fit in San Francisco scheme.
I know, and he gets to go back out west. You know,
yeah, it's true. Might be happier. Giants, no chance. Jags, no chance. Bucks. I mean, Bucks at 39. That's a possibility, right? Running back, Miles Sanders that high. I can't see it. But
look, dude.
Is Miles Sanders the second running back off the board?
Here we go.
This is where it gets interesting because I think he is.
Yes.
Because
he is.
I don't know that Henderson tested well enough to make people buy into him as a full-time guy. I think he's going to be a mid-round guy. People are going to be terrified about Rodney Anderson's injury history.
You know who I think is going to be third?
Who? Damian Harris.
Damian Harris.
Yeah. I don't even disagree with that, I don't think. I think teams are going to like Damian Harris. I don't think that Montgomery's going to go quite as high as people hype him. I know Rodney Anderson, because of the injuries, won't. And Singletary isn't going to eat. I mean, that guy tested like, bro, he's like an all-time bad athlete. And his tape is so fun, Devin Singletary. Have you seen his mock draftable web?
No.
I mean, this dude right here.
It can't be worse than Elijah Holyfield. Let me look.
Bro, it might be worse because he's smaller. He's 5'7".
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, 5'7", 203. And he ran 4.66.
What? And
his arm length is like not even 29 inches. He's the smallest wingspan running back of all time, I think. I mean,
no, he's in the 1%. So there's
one guy out there. His hands are 8.5. He ran 4.66. At least his jump, his vertical jump was above average. Still bad, but everything else. I mean, his three cone and shuttle were horrible, like horrible. They were D linemen doing better. So
terrible.
I don't know.
All right, hold on. I got to look up Elijah.
I do think running backs can be successful, by the way, even if they don't test well. I am a believer in that. And I do think Singletary will be a factor for a team. But at 5'7", 203, I don't know if we're talking about a feature guy here. So I think he'll go later. Not that he can't be a factor.
There's no way. All right, so do we think how
I actually
many running
kind
backs?
Of completely agree with you that I think Damian Harris will be the third running back off the board.
Yeah,
I think it'll be Jacob Sanders.
I actually think that I think David Montgomery is going to be fourth, and I think Daryl Henderson is going to be fifth.
I agree. And those are the five I think that have a shot. I'm looking down the board here, but those are the five I think that have a shot at going in the top 100. I don't think you're going to get more than four or five.
I think all of those guys go in the top 100, actually.
That's fair to say. But I don't think you're going to get more than
most
four
of them. Most of them. But I do think Josh Jacobs is the only one who goes top 50, and then you get the other four from 50 to 100.
I agree with you. Josh Jacobs.
You're not supposed to agree with me, man. Like, where's the banter on the podcast?
I know.
People are here to hear one of us be wrong.
I am, honestly, most of the time you are, but you're speaking gospel right now. I can't disagree. Like, I can't. I think you're spot on. And the combine cleared it up for us, right? Like, Singletary got eliminated. Holyfield got hella eliminated. Benny Snell ain't going high, and we already knew that, but I know you kind of still like him a little bit maybe on day three, but he ain't going high.
I still think that Benny Snell and Justice Hill are going to have some serious, like, hives in the amongst NFL teams. Like I think three or four teams in the league are going to be really high on, like, Justice Hill and Benny Snell. Not so much so
Hill,
high
I
to, like, take
you.
The top
Snell,
50
I
or
don't.
Anything.
I don't see that with Snell, man. What's he give you?
The thing is, though, is that, like, and every time I think about this, like, running back is so much like a preference thing, and it only takes one. It only takes one for us to, you know, let's say Justice Hill goes, like, let's say Justice Hill is somehow, like, the third running back on the board, and we go, wow, I guess the NFL was a lot higher in Justice Hill. No, maybe not. Maybe it was literally just that one team. You know,
right?
And running back is becoming so much of a committee and a diversity within the backfield kind of a thing that
teams trying to find
you just
their type.
Never know.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't think Snell's going high though. I don't think Snell goes.
What is going high?
Now? I don't think Snell goes in the first four rounds. You're praying about it. You want to take that bet?
Oh man!
He doesn't catch the ball, and he's not that great in protection. Plus, he's not a great athlete at all.
So do you think he goes in the fifth round?
Fifth, yeah. I think he gets drafted. But I don't think
he goes. I think he goes in the fourth.
Thinks he sneaks in. I'll tell you what. If there's a sixth running back that has a shot at going in, because we said Jacobs, we said Sanders, we said Harris.
Yep.
We said
Montgomery
and
Henderson.
Yes. If there is a shot, if one of those guys has a chance of falling out, in my opinion, it's Henderson or Montgomery. If a guy has a chance of jumping in, it's Justice Hill. Late third.
I think Montgomery's the only one who has a chance to not be a top 100 pick. Wow. I think Henderson's a lock. Okay. Now, I think he's a late lock, but I really do think he's a lock.
Yeah, I think most of those guys are late locks. Like you said, one top 50. I really believe that. Outside of that, man, I'm trying to think who would work their way into that. I know Higdon tested pretty well, but
what do we think about Robbie Anderson?
He's clearly talented, but who in the world in their right mind at that position that is already gets beat up a ton is going to take a risk on Ronnie Anderson? Like, I mean, that guy has been injured at every level.
Do you think he doesn't get drafted?
No, I think he gets drafted. I just, like, you're talking about a risk. I'm saying, like, I wouldn't take him in the top. Like, I mean, I want to see his medicals, obviously. Maybe he goes to the combine and they're like, yeah, this guy is completely, like, he's a horse. He's in unbelievable health. Like, and they're like, okay, well, must heal really well. But I just don't think that's going to happen. Like, this dude's had so many significant injuries going back to high school. It's kind of like, what's his name from Bama? Bo Scarborough, remember? That guy broke, like his legs, like, three or four times. I'm like, this is crazy. Like, it's so apparent at this point to me that Anderson's just going to spend most of his career hurt. And I wouldn't take a risk. Not at running back. There's just two.
Where would you draft Ronnie Anderson?
I mean, honestly, I probably wouldn't, dude. Like, if I needed a running back, I would just take a different one earlier, probably, than I would draft that I believe is going to
be totally
healthy.
Drafting Ronnie Anderson in, like, the fifth round.
I just don't believe, like, the position to me is so replaceable that I want availability at the position, and I think that there's comparable talents. He's not like Barkley as a talent. Now, Is Rodney Anderson as a talent deserve to be drafted? Absolutely, no question. So don't be pulling this quote out in a million years or three years
we will.
When he's really good.
No, we will.
And saying, you said you wouldn't draft him because you didn't think he was good. I think he's good. I think he's plenty good. It's just the running back position and how injury prone he is. It's not worth the risk, in my opinion. If you need one, I'm taking somebody else probably. If you don't need one, I'm not taking him anyway. So I don't know. That's how I see it with that position. But I think you'll see a ton of guys going on day three.
Who did you say has a better chance to get drafted higher, Benny Snell or Justice Hill? I can't remember.
No, Justice Hill. I think Justice Hill is the sixth guy that with the best chance out of all the running backs in the class to sneak into the top 100.
Who gets drafted first, Benny Snell or Jordan Scarlett?
Jordan Scarlett better get drafted first. I don't even think it's close.
I don't think he does.
I don't know about the character. Because of character stuff, or?
I wouldn't say.
Because Benny Snell's like a rah-rah, like love him in the locker room.
Right, like I don't want to say, because the way that you posed it there, like set that up, meant like, I think they're going to think really negatively about Jordan Scarlett. And I would say like, no, I don't mean like that necessarily. Like, I think the thing that happened with him at Florida, and the reason why he was suspended for a full year, like, I don't really think teams are worried about that. I really don't. But the thing is that, like, Jordan Scarlett's like a very quiet dude. Like, he's just a quiet guy. And Benny Snell is very much like an outgoing, will tell you what you want to hear. Like, he, like you said, like, he's a rah-rah guy that you could see somebody kind of like falling in love with.
Hating, thinking he's super annoying.
But I didn't really.
I mean, I wouldn't. Like, you wouldn't. But.
I don't really get that, like, either or with Benny Snell. I really don't. Like, I think the teams are just going to love him. I think they are.
I hope so. They should.
And I do think that Benny Snell gets drafted before Jordan Scarlett, but I think Jordan Scarlett is clearly the better athlete and probably has the higher ceiling outlook for the NFL. So,
okay. Not a bad point. I agree. Question for you, though. Does Elijah Holyfield get drafted?
Yeah.
Day three?
Obviously. Round, I mean, you can't.
What round? Five? Six? Seven?
I'm going to say six.
I don't know if he gets drafted. I don't know.
Dude can't run.
I know. It's a big concern.
The word run is literally in his position name.
That's the reason.
And he can't do it.
That's the reason I do not think he. I don't know.
Elijah Holyfield is an ing back.
An ing back.
He can't run. Take the word run out.
Oh my goodness.
Put that in your committee.
My man was out there running 4.9. Oh, he declared early to run 4.9.
That's all. I love that line that you say. You're always like, my man declared early to, and then just like say something
to come out here and jump 29 inches. Wow.
The bench press was great, though.
Yeah. He's strong. Maybe he should go into boxing.
Got a Kyler Murray situation on our hands. Yeah. You gonna pick boxing or the NFL? Well, I'm not sure yet. Well, you should probably pick boxing.
I was just gonna tell you, your 40 actually made the decision for you, bud. I don't think you get. I think teams want to draft him because of the pedigree. He was slow, brother. Six or seven is the ceiling. I mean, that's it.
I think he goes in the six. He goes in the six.
All right. One more question for you, Travion Williams. Where does he fit in the mix here? Because he's a really good pass protector. Gets the ball a little bit. He's pretty well-rounded, three-down guy. I just don't think he's great at anything.
I think he's like a fifth-round guy.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't think you're going to see him go super high. And how about Bryce Love? What happens with him?
Man, tough. I think Bryce Love does end up getting drafted. I think he's a seventh-rounder.
I think he's a fourth-rounder.
Whoa!
Most teams will have him in your range, but one team is going to be like, this guy can run 4.3s. We want him. We're going to teach him. He can catch the ball whenever they threw it to him. He caught it. We're going to try.
I really like Bryce Love. Yeah. I did a piece on him during the season when he was still healthy. And I was like, yo, like this dude is like, he can catch. he's a dynamic weapon. Like, he's still good, and nobody was talking about him just because, you know, the 2,000 rushing yard year before or whatever. And okay, so he didn't match that, duh, obviously. Mm-hmm. And people are just super down on him. Like, Bryce Love can still do some things. I'm just worried about his health, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
anytime you get lower body injuries and your main weapon is speed, man, I always am just like, ugh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I never know.
Especially because he didn't get thrown at a ton. He just looked fine when he was thrown at. And he's not like he's, you know, like you said, speed was his biggest thing. I don't think he's a great all-around back, regardless of the injuries. And so, yeah, there's some concern there. But I think, yeah, one or two teams. I mean, man, we forget. There's teams, like you said at the beginning, like, there are some really different preferences of running back for teams. Like, remember when what's his name? The dude who retired at Utah and then came back, finished the season strong, and then got drafted in the fourth round by the
Joe Williams?
Joe Williams, yeah.
Joe Williams. I think
they cut him since then. That whole story about how, like, Lynch had him, like, off the board, and Shanahan was, like, called him day three of the draft early in the morning or whatever, and he was like, I think we should draft this Joe Williams if he's on the board. And Lynch, like, went for a walk and, like, talked to him on the phone, and he was convinced that Williams loved football again, and he drafted him. That's not the way to make decisions, boys and girls. People love that story, brother. We've talked about that on the pod before, I think. I'm getting deja vu here, but people love that story. They were like, this is an awesome story, like. They didn't even have him on the board before the morning. I'm like,
it's not an awesome story.
It's hella dumb. Like,
it's a failure of a system.
This is how you don't draft right here.
Every time we talk about Joe Williams, I have to tell this story about how 3 years ago when he was at the Shrine Game, they were running the drill where you have that piece of rope attached to a football and you're running like high knees over the bags, mm-hmm. and the coach is just yanking on the football the whole time to try to get you to hold on to the ball. Never seen anyone in my entire life perform worse at that drill than Joe Williams.
What was he doing?
The man literally couldn't hold on to the football. The coach was yanking it out from him every time, and every other running back could hold on to it. Now, it was tough. Like, a couple of them like fumbled it maybe once.
Yeah.
And then they got the hang of it, and they were just like gripping it to death. Joe Williams, like, could not hang on to the football. And the coach, like, felt bad because they had redone the drill, like, 8 or 9 times. He had started over the drill because he kept fumbling it. And the coach eventually was like, all right, next drill. He, like, couldn't even complete it. Couldn't hang on to the football.
I am convinced John Lynch is easy. Like, he's so easygoing and easy to talk into things. I honestly think he would draft, like, a regular civilian. If you got somebody to, like, talk to him and be like, yo, I'm telling you, like, I know you've not seen this guy, but, like, He's stronger, he's faster. Like, I just think he'd be like, you know, I mean, 6th round, I'll consider it. Like,
I mean, dude, that's literally how he got his job.
I mean, like,
dude, he was a broadcaster.
Yeah.
And they took a flyer on him.
He literally is down for anything. Like, look, Shaney calls the shots.
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, I think Shaney's a good dude. I'm not saying that, like, he likes yanks Lynch around or anything like that, but I just think that. I think he calls the shots there. But anyway, we digress. Last one I want to ask you about, James Williams, Washington State running back. How much have you seen of him? Probably not that much, maybe.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I still haven't seen a ton. Okay. He's a guy you know what? Maybe I'll do my 5-play on him.
I would be really curious to read your 5-play on him because he is the oddest profile for a running back. He's, I think he's a redshirt junior. Yeah, redshirt junior. So he came out early, 202 catches over the last 3 years of Washington State.
Okay.
Yeah, like more than like almost all the wide receivers were hyping up in this draft.
Yeah, yeah.
This dude caught the ball all the time in that offense. And he makes some really nice adjustments because Gardner Minshew's not good at all. So he made some really nice adjustments to the ball. And like, I mean, he had like a high point catch in the end zone, like toe tapping and like very interesting running back. Small, not particularly fast. I mean, he's honestly, Ben wrote about this for us back in November, and he nailed it. I didn't even remember he wrote this article. I was watching James Williams, like, this guy's James White. Like, he's not even a great athlete. He just has an unbelievable feel for space, awareness of defenders, knows when to stop, knows when to start. Like, he's just going to be good even if he doesn't test great. And I mean, James White didn't test great either, but they are really, really similar to me in that, and they're, like, capable running backs, but, like, really good receivers that can make plays with the ball in their hands and break tackles, too. Really good bounds. So, I think he's not going to go in the top 100, but he is going to be a really good player from day three in this draft. I don't know where he goes. I mean, he is pretty much a receiving back, so it'll be like a team that doesn't really have that role filled in their offense. So the pickings will be a little slim, but he's a good player. He really is. And he had like 13 rushing touchdowns or something too. Like he was just a monster down the goal line, and he isn't even very big. So really unique, interesting player that I'm excited to see where he gets drafted. And then of course, Divine Azigbo as well. I think he will get drafted despite not being invited to the combine.
Oh, totally.
He will get drafted ahead of some of the guys we've talked about on this list. I think his pro day opened people's eyes a little bit to like, this guy's a good athlete and he's huge and he's a cool dude and he caught the ball well at Shrine. I think he ends up going early to mid day three. I could see him sneaking in around four.
Yep, I agree.
All right, there's our kind of look over the running back class there. We didn't say anything about Travis Homer, who came in like Ant-Man at the combine.
All right, that's the running back class, everybody.
Bro ran 4.4, 203. Tell me how Travis Homer is smaller than Myles Gaskin. I still can't get it, Trevor.
I don't understand.
I don't know. It's like
I'm not about to face things that I can't explain in this class.
I can't.
Especially running back.
Yeah, that's the truth. All right, folks, ladies and gentlemen, we will be back on Monday and we will have a mock draft for you. There will be a new order. I shouldn't say order. There will be new team selecting because the Giants now.
If a trade happens this weekend and there's actually a switch up in the order, people are going to spam you with lottery picks.
That's probably true. And they should. But no, I think that we will do a first round mock. We might do dueling first round mocks. That might be a good way to go about it. And it's going to be a lot of fun on Monday. So make sure you guys. Subscribe to the podcast if you're listening for the first time. Leave us a review or a rating on iTunes. We'd love that. And then make sure you check back in Monday because we're going to have a really fun time on Monday's podcast. Until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.